In the second part of this series, we like to go through the content of the whole series to get an overview behind and after the introduction that we already had. So now we like to go into the headlines of all the different chapters to give you an overview what we are talking about and how we can answer all these questions that were asked in the long introduction. The introduction was just a flight, a bird view over everything. And these many questions of the introduction had the purpose to stir something up in you, to show that there may be more and there may be something wrong with Christianity today compared with Christianity 2000 years ago. And there's somebody who had 2000 years time to cause this status. Okay. Let's go into practice. The chapter number one was the introduction. Sure. Sorry, this one. Chapter two, what is hindering more contact with God today? And there are several items below that. Let's have a look again at the status of churches 2000 years ago in the past and present, and how there are differences and how it changed. Then a big theme, hyper-grace. Grace is from God. Naturally, by God's grace and by the cross of Jesus, we can be saved. Only by that. And this is grace and it is most important. But after that, grace has a certain definition in the Bible and we should take care that we don't magnify too much what is not there. And that actually happens today worldwide and it's called hyper-grace. And that's not from God. Next point, power instead of words. The Bible says we should use power and that the letter is dead of the Bible. How can we get the power? Next point, wake up. It's a big wake up call now worldwide, running around the world, and in parallel to that and nearly the same item is Laodicea. The Church of Laodicea is mentioned in the book of Revelation between chapter 2 and 3. And there are the seven churches in these two chapters. And the Church of Laodicea got really hard words from Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, it would be so great when you would be cold or when you would be hot. But because you are lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. What is cold? Ice cold. What is warm? Hot. But why cold? We go into this point. Next point, spiritual blindness. We are blind. We don't see the spiritual world. Why? We should see it, like others did in the Bible. Next point, our fight against the Holy Spirit. Yes, there is a fight from the enemy and maybe from us, so that we deny the activities of the Holy Spirit in us. Another point, times of fables. We are now in the end time and that's the time, as the Bible says, the time of fables. We don't want to hear sound preaching. Next point, Satan's Bible distortion. There are many different Bible versions and it is claimed that the newer the Bible is, the easier it is to read. That may be truth. But it is not the theme that is behind that, because there is a theme. I will go to this point in this chapter. Next question concerning what is hindering more contact with God today is, are you a believer or are you religious? It's the same? Not really. Chapter number 3. The way to Jesus and to the supernatural. How do we get in? Is the first point. Next point, accept the Jesus of the Bible. Well, I accept Jesus, surely. But everybody accepts another image of Jesus that we make us. Who is the Jesus in the Bible? What has he to do with the Jesus we believe in? Next point, cleaning up inside. How can I clean myself? what is inside that blocks me to go the way towards Jesus? And how can I clean myself? Next point on this journey towards Jesus, repentance and forgiveness. Two items that are really important and they are combined. How are they combined? What do they have to do with each other? In fact, they are two sides of the same coin and completely independent from, completely depending on each other. And I will show up the real consequences when we really repent and really forgive others through our whole life. That's one act and the results are dramatically. It makes you free. Next step, to come nearer to Jesus. Handing over our life and following Jesus. Handing over our life is not just a simple prayer. It is beginning with this prayer. This is most important. It's a legal step, but it's not done with this. It is a process. Step by step, we hand over more. And the more we hand over to Jesus, we follow him. The next point in the chapter, The Way to Jesus and the Supernatural, is a little bit provocating. And for religious people, it's really a problem. The name is The Four Types of Baptism. Yes, I said baptism is plural already in the introduction, and it's clearly shown in the King James Bible. And we will go into details what these four types of baptisms are, what the differences are, and that these are really independent steps. One baptism is not the same as the other, and it cannot work for the other. The Bible compared with baptisms, the fear of the Lord. But the same as with baptisms, the fear of the word gives us, of the Lord gives us profits, gives us benefits, gives us presence, gives us so much that Jesus said the fear of the Lord is the most important present of the Holy Spirit that he got. Next point on the way towards Jesus, humbling ourselves. That was for me the really most difficult step up to today. How can I humble myself? God told me you have to. And I thought, well, I'm humble. Where is the problem? Because I was already receiving the fear of the Lord. And this is a process when it endures for 1.5 hours. You will never ever forget it. And this brings by other things and many benefits also being humbly towards God. As I hope, as I think. But there's another part of being humbly, not vertically, but horizontally, towards others. And that's completely independent from that, and it is difficult. I went through falling, to falling, to falling, and failure, to failure, to failure. And every time I've fallen down, I said to Jesus, come again, next test. And the next test was again different. I will show you many of these things so that you don't have to get a bloody nose with all the things that I have gone through. This all is growing towards Jesus. The next point is more related to a group of people, to congregations, to churches. The culture of honor. How can I keep my house clean? Meaning, how can I keep the church clean or a congregation clean? And how can I establish something that allows the spirit to flow and avoids anger with other people wherever they are? And the last point on the way to Jesus and into the supernatural of this chapter is faith. Seems to be simple. In Germany, we have only one word, and that's belief. Yes, I believe, that's all. In English, there's faith and belief. And you can see, when you use these two words, that belief is not a static thing, there's growth. You can grow in faith. Well, not in German. But let's go into that as one way to follow Jesus. That was chapter 3. Let's come to chapter 4. How can we ring the bell at the door of God? That's an important part. It's really important because Jesus said that we shall pray day and night all the time, that we shall be really loud if necessary. Put everything into it, put our heart into it. And there's a method to do this much better than we can do it out of our own strengths. One point out of it is the point, go and get it. Our salvation we received by grace. This is a gift. This is a present. This is wonderful, and we can never ever reach it out of our flesh. But when you want to have further presence from God or further gifts from God, the Bible shows us that we shall go to get it. Not just wait, oh, well, if the Lord likes, he will send us. If God likes, he will do. No. The Bible says clearly, go and get it. Ring the bell to God. Next point, praying all the time. I already mentioned that. How we can do it? We show it in practice and all the effects that will occur when you really do this. Next, that was looking upwards. Next is do the first works. How do I strengthen my faith? And important concerning the relationship with God, how shall God speak to me? This is one of the first prayers a beginner can do. He can pray, Lord, whenever you like to speak with me, do it. I said, drastically. You may say, carefully. Or penetrantly. Or whatever you say. I said drastically, and it happened. And I'm glad about that. This makes such an influence on the prayer life. It was chapter number 4, ringing the bell at God. Chapter number 5, worship, a door to heaven. Well, in many churches, worship is something I have to do. I have to open my mouth 2 minutes and then, okay, we can continue. And they start talking. Then I have to open my mouth again. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, oh, there's a problem. The melodies are going in a region where I cannot sing. The text is so complex. Glad it's over. First point about this in this chapter, worship, a door to heaven. Function of the worship. Is that what I described here? The everyday usage of worship, really the function of worship? No, absolutely not. It would not open the door to heaven. Let's look into the Bible. Second point, what is the biblical behavior during worship? Let's learn from that. When you look into the Bible, it's different than in many churches. How do we do correct worship? Meaning a worship that leads to an open heaven and that leads to a response from God. Next point, the goal of worship is an exchange. This is already an answer. I will show it in detail in this chapter. It is an exchange between you worshipping and God giving you something. To show you what is happening internationally concerning worship, I will show you some examples from international standard of worship and from awakened praise. What happens in worship is the next point. Signs and wonders and healings and all these things and appearance of the Holy Spirit with all his kinds of appearances just when you worship correctly. It's so easy and it's funny. It's great. Next point, attendance. Are you just there and do you just look? That's not expected because you cannot just watch when God acts. There are some not nice words for doing this, like watching into a house where somebody tries to change his clothes. Attendance is asked. When we enter this worship, we should participate. God will help you with singing, like he did with me. My voice was horrible, and during a real intensive worship weekend of 3 days, I suddenly got 3 octaves more. And I show you a direct Beispiel. A direct example, I'm now in German because it's about awakening Europe. It was in Germany, in Nuremberg, in 2015. People came in, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came, and a complete stadium started to worship in an incredible way until the sun went down. And the professionals that were leading the whole conference did not open their mouths, did not continue, just obeyed, because they saw who was active. Next point, the battle around our worship. Yes, there's a battle, because worship is a direct access to God, and there's somebody who doesn't like it. And religious also don't like it. And the last point in this area, the rewards of true worships. There are a lot of rewards, and I will go into that. That was chapter 5, Worship, a Door to Heaven. Let's go to the next chapter, the Holy Spirit. The following points are in this chapter. What does his work look like? Holy Spirit, yes or no? Do we like to accept him or not? The 9 gifts of the Spirit. How do we get these spiritual gifts? Signs and wonders, speaking in tongues, prophecy, proclamation and blessing compared to prophecy, the gift of mercy, the spirit of discerning, and false spirits that are not the Holy Spirit. We go into these points in many details, guiding you into practical lessons how you can get the Holy Spirit, how you can be filled, how you can exercise, what are the benefits of praying in tongues, show you that praying in tongues can lead you in prophecy, and many things more. What are prophecies, what is proclamation, what are the differences, and so on. And how can you get different kinds of prophecy, and how can you see that this is a prophecy? And what is his shape, or his spelling, or how is it visible, or how can you feel it? That was point 6, the Holy Spirit. Let's come to chapter 7, prayer on the spiritual side. There are some points below it. First one is, why we not pray seeker-friendly. It has a reason. Then, the lack of knowledge, where the Bible says it kills us, and we need some knowledge to pray on the spiritual side. Darkness shuns the light. Darkness is on the other side, on the spiritual side, and we can come with light into darkness. How shall we pray? Again, prayer opens the door now to the spiritual world. How can we do this? Examples of today's forms of prayer to come into this world. How can we change the atmosphere by acting on the spiritual side? Why are prayers not answered? What are the hindering points on the other side where we with our mindset just see it should be answered, everything's fine? And last point about prayer on the spiritual side, intercessional prayer. How can you pray for other people on the other side? And what happens then? The point number 8, chapter 8, the power of curse and blessing. We will go into the Bible and search for curses. Who curses? Yes, also God curses, but different than human. And what are the consequences of curses for a person, the children of the person, the children of the children of the children? Where does it stop and how can we stop it? And on the other hand, we talk about the power of blessings. How shall we bless and what happens and what does the Bible say about blessings? Chapter 9, the power of fasting. We look into the Bible and see there how fasting is described, and we talk about the difference in fasting just as a manner or just as a duty and real fasting. For example, if you really fast, you can fast completely without any hunger. And I can show you how it's done. Chapter 10, the love of God. The points below that. What prevents God from giving me his law? There are hindering points. How can I experience God's love? How does God's love change me? And what is the effect on my relationship, for example, or in my family, of this love? Can I produce love by myself when I have to love my wife? From where does love come? And how does it feel? I know the feeling of love in another person, but how does it feel the love of God, the agape love? We talk about these things and how we can get it. Chapter 11, the new wave. That's what running around this planet from God, it's a pure activity from God, where we can decide if we participate or not, since about 2011, very, very strong. It started already 100 years ago. This has several points below. For example, God's aim of revival. Why does he come with a new wave? What's his intention? God's three times of great transitions, and we are in the third one. Can God do a new one? I talked about that already in the introduction, and we go into this point here again. The greatest revival is long in progress worldwide. And there's a task for this revival, an aim of this revival. I will show examples of the last wave, because this wave is the greatest and it's the last one, and we will see testimonies coming from all over the world. And there are other testimonies and visions from other people who call us to urgency. It's really urgent what's happening there, and we just continue to sleep, we miss it. The actual wave of refugees coming into Europe is another example of what happens. And we look at all aspects, also the aspects what happens here normally in our daily life. Then we ask ourselves, what do we do now? What shall we do in this wave? How can we get in? How do we get power? And we look at testimonies of signs and miracles inside of this wave, so that we can align ourselves to that what God does. We will be informed before the wave just rolls over us and we cannot participate, and we can learn how to jump into this wave. This is most important in the end time. To get a feeling about the size of this wave, I will also show old waves. 100 years ago, videos from former awakenings and things like that. And then you can see how many people attended there and how many are involved now. Jesus said, we will do greater things than he did. And when greater things means the amount of people that an individual person is reaching today, one person, one stadium, or one person in Africa reaching 1.3 million at the same time. Jesus talked to 5,000, maybe 6,000, that's maximum. That's really exciting, and I promise you, this chapter will open up your eyes why all the other chapters are necessary to prepare you for something. Something big is coming, and we can avoid that we miss it, and we can be really, really powerful. And one of these points comes also later, in another chapter. It has something to do with the end time, this wave, and our power. This was chapter 11, the new wave. Let's come to chapter 12, the power of your testimony. My spiritual father told me right at the beginning, as I gave my life to Jesus, take a book and write down everything every day when a supernatural thing happens. Because otherwise, you will not remember it, the enemy will just eat it. I did it, and that was really important. Otherwise, I would not be able to talk to others. And that may be one reason why you don't talk. And the first point in this chapter is, why don't you talk? Why don't we speak out our testimony? We have some fear. But we don't need to have fear. Second point is, what happens if you talk? Things happen, because when we give our testimony, the Bible says that at that moment we can overcome and even overcome Satan. As soon as we speak our testimony, the Holy Spirit goes through us And word by word, we just tell a story of our life. The other side receives not only this knowledge, not only this example, but he receives the Holy Spirit. Have a look at the impact of your testimony. It's amazing. Last point of this chapter, how do you release the power of your testimony? How do you do it? First step I already mentioned, write it down. Chapter 13, that's a big one, that's a strong one, the spiritual world. That's a chapter you do not normally hear in Sunday's preachings in Western churches. Let me give you some sub-points of this chapter. The first one is a little bit funny written, but it has a big point behind it. It is, which wise monk or cardinal or pope has driven all demons out of the world? Because in our today churches, in the Western world, there are no demons. Wow! Is it true? Let's have a look. Testimonies about the spiritual world. Let's learn from others who can walk on the other side, who can see on the other side. What they do, how they can help other people with that, how they can proceed there, how they can win any kind of battle, and ask them how they got there. Then we come to a big point that David Prince called Deliverance and Demonology Series. That's nearly a book for itself, and it describes in detail all kinds of themes around demons and how to get free from them. For example, what is a demon? What is a spirit? And where is it described? What does it do? What has it for an influence about us? Are there different levels of spirits? And so on. I cannot tell you everything that is in this chapter. Let's go through it, and it will help you. It will empower you to win a battle, win a fight. You can just say, no, there are no demons. I'm fine. There is no battle. But the other side still fights against you. You can ignore this fact and just suffer, or you can go into here and get the weapons of God, and you know you pray it all the time, you proclaim it all the time, Jesus in me is stronger than everything else. But why don't you do it? Here you can see how. For example, by deliverance in practice. Let's show what it means in practice. Next point about the spiritual world is humanism. Isn't it strange? That's a wonderful thing. Do you think? Even Derek Prince in the 1970s said humanism is not a way from God. It's something completely different. We will look at it. Then practical things. House cleaning. How can I clean my body, myself, and my home? Really meaning the house. What is standing around? What is hanging at the walls? What little items are there standing? Are these false gods? Do they have power on the spiritual world? What happens if I remove them? A lot, I can tell you. I've experienced it. Next point about the spiritual world. Laying on of hands. In religious churches in the Western world, laying on of hands is nothing spiritual, it's an act where I put my hands on the shoulder of somebody else, or maybe on the head, because it is described in the Bible and we should do it so I am obedient. But many Christians fear to lay on a hand onto another person. They don't know why, and they would never imagine why, but there's a reason therefore. So there are many aspects, and laying on of hands is power transfer, real power transfer. In the one or into the other direction, we will show that. Next item concerning the theme of the spiritual world, the blood of Jesus. We speak about it in church. We are extremely thankful that Jesus gave his blood on the cross. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely true. But it has more benefits. Jesus spent his blood also for our protection. And, for example, no demon can cross the bloodline of Jesus. We will show examples. Next point about the spiritual world. Scriptures about spiritual warfare. And there are many, and we can learn a lot of these scriptures, mostly, for example, in the New Testament. Something where we say, oh, we talk all the time about the New Testament, we know it, everything is fine, I'm equipped, it's wonderful. But have you ever thought about spiritual warfare in the New Testament? Let's look there. And the last point about the spiritual world is growth is followed by storming. That is something I mentioned already before, and we will go into this point. It has no fear for us because we are stronger. When we know this fact, we can effectively avoid it and be prepared that we know exactly now it will come. Exactly, that helps. That was chapter 13, the spiritual world. Let's come to chapter 14, applying the blood of Jesus. So I said in the chapter before, I spoke about the theory of the blood of Jesus. And then we can see in the next chapter many praying forms, how we can pray to apply the blood of Jesus, and how these daily prayers, can protect us and our family and those that we include into this prayer. Chapter 15, that's a bigger one. It's about healing. And it's not chapter 2, it's not chapter 3, it's chapter 15. Far behind the chapter about other things, so it's a certain step that needs some knowledge. For example, chapter 6 was the Holy Spirit. And that's necessary to go into the field of healing. And this chapter has many points below. Let's start with the first one. What is to heal? Is a broken bone the same as my leg is too short? Is I'm bent and I cannot go straight forward, or my hands are crippled, the same as, well, I have cancer? Or the same as I have catch cold. I'm not talking about the seriousness of the illness. I'm talking about the source of it. So we have to know and we have to decide what is the source of the problem of a person and how can we pray for this kind of source against this problem and for healing. That was point one. Second point, how do we heal? How do we do it? Practical examples. Healing through the crucifixion of Jesus. I said, how do we heal according to Matthew 10:8? We shall. Naturally, I mean, Jesus heals by the Holy Spirit through us. And the preparation, therefore, we will look at the Bible, is done through the crucifixion of Jesus. And we go into the detail of the Bible, which is the foundation for that we can do today. Next point, do we believe in healing? Does the person who wants to heal another believe in healing? Does the person who gets the healing believe in healing? What are the consequences? Next point, healing where and by whom? Preconditions for those who want to heal. Precondition for all who want to be healed. And precondition for all who want to keep their healing. Three different preconditions. And when we clean them up, we have the door open for successful healing if God wants to heal this person. That's the most said sentence in most Western churches. But it has only the right concerning if God really don't want to heal a person. Because normally he wants to heal everybody, except he knows something that we don't know. But we have to first try, because we know it is not God's intention to let us suffer. Who believes this and talks only if God will, says that he believes in a really ugly God. But that's not our God, and that's not our Jesus. Next point, invisible barriers to healing. Yes, there are barriers to healing also on the spiritual side. Let's look at them. Questions before the healing prayer. What are questions we can ask the person who wants to be healed? practical things we can get also out of the Bible. How did Jesus heal? There are many examples, and we can look at them and we can learn from them and apply them exactly like Jesus does. And be surprised what happens when we do this. We also show testimonies from other healings and from people who heal, and we see how healings occur, and we can learn a lot from that. Then we go into practical training. So how can we apply that? And it's by doing it. Learning by doing. Like a baby does when he wants to walk. Stands up, falls down. Stands up, falls down. Stands up, falls down. Todd White prayed, I think, for 6,000 people before the first healing occurred. And that was a breakthrough after that. Until to now, when he prays, healing always occurs. Not just occasionally. It's a growth process. And it can happen quite fast when you know how you come into the spiritual world. So these barriers are then gone, and you can heal by the help of Jesus, through you, very effectively, because that's the aim of God. He wants you to do this. But that needs some internal changes. After training, one other example, we talk about cancer, because that's one of the most spreading ugly things around the world, and illnesses, and we show examples of healing that, and what happens during that spiritual fight, and what are the specialities for that. Then other specialities, delayed healing. You pray for nothing happened. And you talk with the person a day later, and they said, well, I have the feeling it may be better. 3 days later, I'm healed. And you prayed and thought, nothing has happened. Then, more worse, no cure at all. Maybe you can talk with the person again and have a look. Why God said, no, not he. But maybe God said, no, not this time. Prepare him. Try to find out. Give a second chance. Give a third chance. And have a look until you really understand. Ask the Spirit if God says, I like to have him here. Forget your prayer. I also had the situation in my family. I prayed very shortly, and God immediately said, stop. And I stopped in a few seconds. I knew now it's time for him to go to the Lord. The last point in this chapter about healing is not really about healing, but how can I get, for example, healing and many other things. It's the chapter Impartation of Gifts. By laying out of hands and laying by other things, there are people much stronger than I am, much stronger than we are, much stronger than you are on this planet. And sometimes God sends such a person to you, and when he lays hand on you, he imparts his gifts or his mantle for your life onto you. And that changed your life dramatically. Don't miss such a situation. We talk about that so that you can realize and see when something like this can happen, or see an opportunity where you can go to reach out for that. For example, to go to meet such a person. And God says, go to him. Chapter 15 was healing. Now chapter 16. What can we do with the healing? Go out. Use it. Chapter 16 is evangelism. We look at the definitions in the Bible, and we talk about how do we get the biblical authority to evangelize. What? Well, in normal Western churches, everybody can evangelize, and we shall go out. But do we really have the authority of God to do this? What does Jesus tell us about that? And what does the Bible say about this? It will be a surprise, but it's not difficult. Chapter 17. The book of Revelation. I said, and I will prove it, we are in the end times. We are at the doorstep of the end times. And when we look outside, we see many things. So, why not looking into the book of Revelation? Because this book gives us any knowledge we need to proceed securely, effectively, and powerful in this end time. So there are some sub-points I will list up here of this chapter 17. In the introduction, we give questions and answers to just openly talk about what's the book of Revelation, and there are many hindering questions, and let's answer a few of them. Then we go into it. We talk about the spirit of the Antichrist. We talk about this person of the Antichrist that is mentioned in the book of Revelation. And then, that's what does the other side? We talk about what does God's side? We talk about the two witnesses described in the book of Revelation, and we show up why they are so extremely important for us. As an outlook, these are not two people. It's much more, and you and I can be extremely involved in that. And that will be really interesting. Let's have a look at the timetable. There are two timetables, the timetable of God and the timetable of the other side. The clock of God, who is it for? Who shall use it? Who shall look at this watch? Well, for example, we. As said before, it's an urgent time. And we can see in when we look out of the door and compare that what we see when we look out of the window with what the book of Revelation describes, we can really identify where we are in this timing and what will be the next steps that will happen. In all areas, about the Bible versions and about what the other side does outside with us, with our freedom and other things. So what does the book of Revelation really say? That's the jumping in, and that's the fruit we can get out. Next question in this part is, what's your service in this time? What is your job? What should you do for God in this time? And how can we get in? We are looking at testimonies of people, of forerunners, who are active in this end time and who act already in a way that God wants us to align. We talk about a technical thing, anointing and glory. I mentioned it also in the introduction. There's a difference between both. Anointing is here, glory in heaven, but glory now comes down and gives us many things. Not only retreats in seconds, and wonderful joy, and much more. It's the opening of the heaven, and there's a book that has the title, Eternity Invades Time. And this describes also why glory comes onto the earth. Let me talk about levels of Bible reading. This book I will describe in the series. Levels of Bible reading. There are several different kinds of levels how I can read a Bible. I can read it like a crime journal, or I can read it in a way that I can really be empowered. That was chapter 17, the book of Revelation, which helps us in the time where we are now, and so the religious spirit tries to avoid that we go into this book. Have you ever seen that it is preached in a church in the Western world? Only very rarely they pick out a little bit to have touched it, but the power that is inside for us is never shown. It's hidden. I'm talking about God's secrets. That's the task of the whole series. Here is one, the book of Revelation. And another point of that is, it is described, I think it's the book of Daniel, the prophet, that he gets information, but a part of this information of this book shall be closed up with a lock until to the end time. Is this lock open? It's a code. Can we encode the book of Revelation? Yes. This key is given to us. More in this chapter. That's the main part of God's activities now, of the secrets of God's activities. These seems to be simpler headlines, but each line is a chapter of learning about it, looking into the Bible, applying it, practicing it and seeing a result of it or not. And when you see results, you can say, I know it's true. Let's go through it. I promise a lot. Have a look if it really happens. The chapter 18 is just a summary, and chapter 19 is about other topics. For example, judging. Shall we judge as Christians or not? Or shall we just tell people where they are wrong without condemning them? There are many different aspects of that, and there's not just a simple yes or no, that's the same for every Christian. And another point, as other topics, is apostles. How do we recognize them? Do they exist today? What is their function? And how can we see that somebody is an apostle? And the last point here in this topics is different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are complete nonsense and madness for unbelievers. Yeah, and interestingly, if things like that happen, it is also looking like madness for many Christians. We talk about that. Well, this is a content that I gave you from today. But this is a living document, and it will get input, and it gets input from all sides, from God and from other people who see it and who hear it. And that's how it should be. So when I do something wrong, tell me. When you have something to add, please. It should grow, it should change, and it should get better from day to day. Thank you for this part. Thank you for attending. But before I stop, I give you a final summary of what is it all about, the whole series. And this summary I give you in the way of a movie.
I'm saying, wake up, church. There's an awakening.
He is waiting for the church to step out and say, God, I know that there's more.
Welcome to the gospel, guys. God is not holding back his love. And guess what? We get to become conduits of that love.
And this place of intimacy in Christ causes me to be able to represent him everywhere I go.
The most valuable resource in heaven, the precious blood of the Lamb, was spilled to ransom us. That's how much we are worth.
Jesus was marred beyond any man. He was completely ripped apart. You couldn't even tell it was Jesus. Why? Because we didn't look like anything God created us to be in the beginning anymore. So Jesus had to become that so that we could finally come back to the reality of who we've been created to be.
We get to represent Christ everywhere we go. And all creation's waiting to see what it looks like when a Christian manifests Christ.
It's waiting. It's waiting for the bride to awaken. I can see now.
God's looking for champions, for warriors that would just say, you know what? I'm tired of living for me. I want to burn with the gospel everywhere I go.
This has got to bypass your head and go straight to your heart, because it's our spirits that testify that we are sons of the living God. And that's where the whole of creation begins to grow.
They're searching for someone that knows who they are in Christ, and no matter what pushes them, they always manifest Christ. Everyone has one life. I've got one life, and it's ticking away like this.
This is about eternity, and it's real. And God has given you everything you need to be able to reach out. If you could only get a glimpse of his love for people, you know how important it is. You see, if we don't have love, we have nothing.
Let his love ignite your heart and consume you.
So no matter where you are, people get to see Jesus in those places.
All you have to do is just give up and say, yes, God, I want this. Yes, God.
There's no going back past this point. It's all in. All chips are on the table. We say yes. We say yes. We say yes. Bride, it's time to become love.
Isn't that breathtaking? I can promise you, this series will be breathtaking. So that's enough for this chapter. The next one as outlook will be, what has it to do with us? What has it to do with me? And what has it to do with you? Thank you for today.